ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. చాప్టర్ 1 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ అబ్జర్వింగ్ ద ఆర్మీస్, టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 30. నచ శక్నోమ్ అవస్థాతుం భ్రమతి వచ్చమే మనః, నిమిత్తాని చ పశ్యామి విపరీతాని కేశవ. నచ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిజ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: I am now unable to stand here any longer. I am forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune, O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon. Due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. Excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. Bayam dvitiya binivesharasyat. Such fearfulness and loss of mental equilibrium take place in persons who are too affected by material conditions. Arjuna envisioned only painful reverses in the battlefield. He would not be happy even by gaining victory over the foe. The words nimittani, viparitani are significant. When a man sees only frustration in his expectations, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. One's real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. The conditioned soul forgets this and therefore suffers material pains. Arjuna thought that his victory in the battle would only be a cause of lamentation for him. Om ajnana timirandasya jnana. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text number 30. See, Bhagavad Gita is considered to be one of the most important scripture. In fact, it is considered to be the essence of the Vedas. Shankaracharya glorifies Bhagavad Gita as like the whole Vedas are compared to a cow. And when you milk a, the essence of the cow is the milk which is coming from the cow. So similarly, the essence of the whole Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is like the milk which comes out of the cow. So in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra is asking basically two questions. Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yuyutsavaha. He says, Mamaka Pandavashchaiva Kimakurvata Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra is asking, basically, what did the Pandavas do and what did my sons do after assembling in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So in response to these two questions, the whole Bhagavad Gita is actually narrated by Sanjaya. He narrates the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. He basically answers these two questions: what did Kauravas do and what did Pandavas do? So in response to the first question, what did the Kauravas do? So Sanjaya is basically answering from the verse number 2 to verse number 13, in which he is basically saying what is actually Duryodhan doing. Because Duryodhan represents the whole Kauravas. There are 100 sons of Dhritarashtra are there, but then Sanjaya is basically narrating what Duryodhan is doing. Because Duryodhan represents all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. And in response to the second question, that what did Pandavas do? So, Sanjaya is basically narrating what actually Arjuna was doing. Because Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, Pandavanam Dhananjay. Vishninam Vasudevasmi Pandavanam Dhananjay. Among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. So, Sanjaya is basically narrating what Arjuna is doing. So, we see that how, in response to the second question, what Arjuna is doing, so Sanjaya is narrating that how Krishna actually took the chariot of Arjuna right in front of Bhishma and Drona. And then Krishna is telling to Arjuna, see who all have come to fight. Huh? Bhishma and Drona and so many other, so many of your relatives are there on the opposite side ready to fight against you. So then as soon as Arjuna sees his relatives, he becomes overwhelmed with compassion for his relatives. He feels like, I have to fight all these, my grandfather, my teacher and so many of my relatives. So Prabhupada explains in just two verses before that, how Arjuna is overwhelmed because of compassion towards his relatives. Because Arjuna is naturally a devotee of Krishna, so he is soft-hearted in nature. So he becomes overwhelmed with compassion. The symptoms of Arjuna are given in the previous verses. That how Arjuna is saying that my hairs are standing on end. My whole body is trembling. I am not able to hold my Gandiva bow any longer. So in this verse, Arjuna is saying, Nacha shaknom avastatum brahmativa chame manaha. Nimittani cha pashyami viparitani keshava. I am now unable to stand here any longer. Nacha shaknom avastatum brahmativa chame manaha. I am forgetting myself and my mind is reeling. Nimittani cha pashyami. Nimittani means only, Nimittani means the end result and Viparitani means opposite. Nimittani cha pashyami Viparitani keshava. Arjuna is saying, I see only exact opposite results. Like if I win the battle, I may get the kingdom, but even if I get the kingdom, I will not get happiness. I am only going to get distress. So I only see causes of misfortune. And he, Arjuna is addressing Krishna by the word Keshava. Keshava means, O killer of the Keshi demon. So Keshava also means, one who has a curly hair. Like Krishna has a hair which is curly in nature. Especially those with curly hair, like it is very beautiful. So Keshava also means one who has a curly hair. And Keshava also means, one who is the source of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Ka plus Isha plus Vapu. So Krishna is the source of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also. There are so many demigods are there, but Krishna is the source of all the demigods. Just like, especially in India, people worship so many gods. Especially when you go to Kumbh Mela, it is called a supermarket of religion. People worship so many demigods and so many swamis, etc. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead that is declared by all the acharyas and all the, even demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, even they accept Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. It's like suppose when you construct a, suppose government wants to construct a prison house. When it wants to construct a prison house, for creating the prison house, like it will create, it will give contract for people from outside. It will give like, we want to construct such and such prison house with certain specifications. So, whoever wants to construct the prison house, please contact us. So, it will give contract for people from outside. And also when it wants to destroy something, destroy the prison house, it will also get like bulldozers from outside. It will give contract to people from outside. But when it comes to maintaining the prison house, government will not give contract to outside people. Government will itself maintain the prison house, because if it gives contacts to people from outside, then prisoners will bribe those persons and then they will get away from the prison. So similarly, this material world is like the prison house. So for creating this material world, Krishna actually gives the contract to Lord Brahma. Krishna appoints Lord Brahma, and for destroying this material world, Krishna actually gives the task to Lord Shiva. But when it comes to maintaining the material world, Krishna himself maintains in the form of Lord Vishnu. That is why Krishna himself says in the 10th chapter, Name vidus suragana prabhavamna maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashaha. Krishna says that even the great demigods, Name vidus suragana, even great demigods and great sages do not know me. So that is the position of Lord Krishna. So if a person simply worships Lord Krishna, then one can satisfy all the demigods. There is no need to worship any demigods separately. So that is why Arjuna is actually addressing Krishna as Keshava. And further, Prabhupada writes in the purport that due to his impatience, Arjuna was unable to stay on the battlefield and he was forgetting himself on account of this weakness of his mind. So Arjuna is saying, Brahmativa chame manaha, my mind is reeling because of his weakness of his mind. So Arjuna is in a very much distressful condition. So mind is something which is very difficult to control. It is said, mind is like water. Just like water naturally wants to go to a lower position. Similarly, mind actually always wants to take a lower consciousness. It wants to, it does not always tells, suppose you want to do something, then mind tells exactly the opposite. So the students, they want to study, mind tells, go to sleep. Like the mind always tends to go towards a lower consciousness. So that is the nature of the mind. So Arjuna is also, has come under the control of his weak mind. And then further Prabhupada is saying, excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. So when a person is excessively attached to certain things, then he actually comes under the material condition of existence. When a person is attached to anything material, then he will only undergo miseries. It is said, like a miser is very much attached to the wealth. It is said, miser is the greatest donor because, without touching his wealth, he actually gives the entire wealth to others. It is said, there is no fun to live with a miser but he makes a great ancestor because after the miser dies, then we get the entire wealth. So when a person is attached to something, he actually comes under the material condition of existence. Just like it is explained that when you want to construct a earthen dam, suppose even if there is a small hole in a dam, some small crack is there in a dam, the whole dam will be a failure because water will go to the other side. So similarly, even if a person is slightly attached to something, then that slight attachment will overpower a person. And then ultimately, his result will be he will get a bad result. We have this example of King Nahusha. King Nahusha was an earthly king, but he actually became Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. So he was actually a very pious king, but still he had all the good qualities, but he had little lust in his heart. So when he became the king of Indra, king of heaven, when he became Indra, then he wanted to enjoy the wife of Indra, Shachi Devi. So then he wanted to enjoy the voice of Indra, then he started going to the palace of Shachi Devi. So that then when Shachi Devi came to know that King Nahusha is coming to enjoy him, so King Nahusha gave a message that if you want to enjoy me, you should come in a palanquin which is carried by the sages. So then Nahusha started coming in a palanquin which was carried by the sages. So sages were coming. So they were coming slowly. So Nahusha became very restless. He told them, go fast. So then the sages became very angry and they cursed Nahusha you become a snake. So now she had little attachment, but that little attachment completely overpowered him, and he finally became a snake, being cursed by the sages. So here also, Prabhupada is saying that excessive attachment for material things puts a man in such a bewildering condition of existence. If a man even has a little attachment, that is the condition, what to speak of excessive attachment. Then Prabhupada quotes a verse from the 11th canto, in which he says that, Bayam dvitiya binivesatasyat. So fear is one of the greatest problem of a living entity. So there are four problems: eating, mating, sleeping and fearing. So out of these four problems, fearing is considered to be the most dangerous problem, because one does not know what is going to come next. And what is the cause of this fear? The cause of the fear is that because one does not know one's real constitutional position. One misidentifies himself with something which is not. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Madhvacharya quotes, he says that when a conditioned soul of demoniac mentality identifies himself with his gross material body, he undergoes constant drowsiness and unquenchable sexual desires, which burn all mental peace and serenity to ashes. And when a conditioned soul identifies himself with a life here, then he gets lot of hunger. And when he identifies himself with mind, he comes under the control of, he gets panic, fear and hankering that ends in disappointment. And when he identifies himself with intelligence, he experiences profound existential bitterness and frustration deep within his heart. And when he identifies himself with the false ego, he actually gets this inferiority complex. He feels like, I am so low. Or when he identifies himself with the process of consciousness, he becomes haunted by the memories of past. And when a conditioned soul, when a demon who tries to superimpose himself as the ruler of all living beings, then he gets all the miseries simultaneously. So although some of us may have come to the path of devotional service, but still every living entity has that divine nature and demoniac nature. To the extent one has a demoniac qualities, to the extent one identifies himself with any of these things, whether the body or the mind or intelligence, so one gets these miseries to some extent or other. So basically, one has to basically be situated in one's original constitutional position as the servant of Lord Krishna. So that is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is basically driving us to the final point that we are not the body, we are neither the soul or the intelligence, but we are actually eternal servants of the Lord. So every person is actually going through this identity crisis. Like there was a person called Charles. He was actually fighting in the Vietnam War for 2 years. So after he fought in the Vietnam War for 2 years, he killed so many people, and then he thought to himself, I am a killer of so many people. I want to forget this identity as the killer of so many people. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai, Shri Gaurnitai ki jai. So this person, he wanted to forget his identity. So then what he did, he put a tombstone, and then he wrote in that, Charles is dead. Because he wanted to change his identity, he wanted to change his name. Then he went to the court, and then he said that, I want a new name. My new name should be, I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. So the judge said, it is too long a name, we can't give such a long name. Then he said, okay, give me only this name, I am who I am. Then they gave this name. So people actually go through such identity crisis, but they don't know how to deal with this. So here also, Arjuna is actually going through such identity crisis. So he does not know what is his real self-interest. So because of that, he is going through such miseries. Once Prabhupada was talking with his disciples, he was saying that among the peacocks, male peacocks are the most beautiful. And among the human beings, females are most beautiful. And among the Muslims, one with a long beard is most beautiful. Then Gurudas Prabhu said, as far as we are concerned, we don't have any hair. So we are actually not attractive. And Prabhupada said, yes, we are actually in between. So that is good. Then Prabhupada said, so we have to actually transcend all these designations. So every person is having some designation, like I'm an engineer, or I'm a male, or I'm a student, I'm a housewife, or I'm a medical student or engineer, etc. But all these designations change. But our eternal designation is that we are eternal servants of Krishna. Because we have forgotten this particular identity, then we are actually going through so many miseries. So then Prabhupada writes in the purport that when a man sees only frustration in his expectation, he thinks, why am I here? Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in Supreme Self. So Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. So the real self-interest, one's real self-interest lies in Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj says to Hiranyakashipu, Nate vidusvartha gatim hi Vishnum, durasayahe bahirartha manina, anda yatandair upaniya manas, tepisha tantriyam urudamni baddha. So those people who are identifying themselves with a material body, who are in the gross bodily conception of life, and such people who have accepted similar people as their leaders, what is the destination? Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnum. Such people do not know that their real self-interest lies in Vishnu. And they do not know that the real self-interest is to perform devotional service to Lord Vishnu. And just like blind people are led by similar blind people, they only fall into a ditch. Similarly, when people who are in the bodily concept of life, who are led by similar such leaders, they are actually bound by this very strong knots of fruitive labor. So when a person does not know his real self-interest as a servant of the Supreme Lord, then one actually goes through such miseries. So even if we see with our common sense, like one may say that I don't want to serve God. But if we see deeply, every person is serving somebody or other in this world. See, when we are serving somebody or other, why not serve the Supreme Lord? Who is the greatest person? So that is real intelligence. In fact, it is said one has to become the servant of Supreme Lord. So it is said like when a person is living in a community, even if we say logically that one has to become servant of everyone, so every person is thinking that I am the servant of everyone, then he actually, suppose 50 persons are living, then every person is thinking I am the servant of others. Then if you see deeply that you are being served by 49 people, because 49 other people are thinking that they are the servant of you. So even logically it pays more benefit if you think yourself as the servant of everyone. On the other hand, if you think yourself as the master of others, then it only gives rise to more miseries. So then, the next verse, Arjuna is saying that Nacha shreyon pashyami hatva svajanam ahave na kankshe vijayam Krishna nacha rajyam sukhaniche. Arjuna is saying that I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsman in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom or happiness. So here, Arjuna is further giving his reason. He is saying that I don't see any good in the battle. So Krishna is reminding Arjuna that Krishna is saying, don't you remember what Parashar Muni says? Like Parashar Muni says, a person who dies in the battlefield fighting the enemies on behalf of Dharma, such a person, even if he dies in the battlefield, he attains the planet of sun god. He goes to the heavenly planets. And also those people who practice yoga, and who remember Krishna and then leave their, those who are practicing yoga and leave their body, they also go to the sun planet. So you are, if you fight in the battle and if you die in the battlefield, you will go to the planet of sun god. The planet of sun god is actually, it is a heavenly planet. In heavenly planets, it is said there is more facility for enjoyment. In fact, it is said in heavenly planet one has got like one's bodily strength is more. One does not actually, one does not grow old. Just at the end of his life, he actually grows old and then immediately his life ends and then he comes back to the earthly planet. In heavenly planets, it is said there is no conception of conception. One can enjoy unlimited sex with the damsels and one can keep enjoying till one's pious credits get over. And when one's pious credits are just about to get over, then one's garland starts becoming, it starts fading. So then they actually beget children in order to, like, they have sex and then they beget children. And then those demigods are actually thrown to the earthly planets. So basically the point is, if you die in the battlefield, and then you will go to the heavenly planets, and there will be more scope for enjoyment. But then Arjuna is saying that actually, Arjuna is saying that only those people who are actually killed in the battlefield, they go to the sun planet. But then, if I kill the enemies, then I will not go to the sun planet. On the other hand, he's saying that so Krishna is saying that minimum you will go to the sun planet, so you just kill them. But then Arjuna is declining. He says that I do not see any hope because only those people who are actually killed in the battlefield, they go to the heavenly planet. But I will not be killed because I will only win the battle. Not only that, Krishna is saying that suppose if you do not get killed, then you will not go to the sun planet. But then if you kill your enemies, at least you will get the kingdom. You can enjoy the kingdom. But then Arjuna is saying that, but I do not desire any kingdom. Na kankshe vijayam Krishna. Na cha rajyam sukhanicha. And I do not desire any happiness which are coming out of the kingdom. So in this way, Arjuna is not actually willing to fight. So we can see, just two verses before, Arjuna is giving the reason of compassion. Arjuna is saying that I do not want to fight in the battle because I do not want to kill my relatives. But here, Arjuna is actually giving exactly opposite reason. He is saying that because even if I win the battle, even if I get killed in the battle, even if I win the battle, like I will not get any happiness. So he is actually giving the reason of enjoyment. So this is the nature of the mind. Mind is actually accepting something and rejecting something. Mind is like a monkey which goes from one branch to another branch. So Arjuna's mind is acting just like a monkey. Just before, few verses before, he is giving the reason of compassion. Now he is actually analyzing the whole issue based on enjoyment. I will not get any happiness, so I will not fight the battle. So similarly, even sometimes when a person comes to devotional service, sometimes one hears one particular lecture and becomes very much inspired. He decides to chant like 16 rounds, 20 rounds. Then immediately after some time, he becomes, like his mind becomes, he does not feel inspired. So this is the nature of the mind. It is accepting something and rejecting something. So So the such bhakti is called Gana Tarala Bhakti. Gana means thick, Tarala means thin. Sometimes it is thick and sometimes it is thin. So Arjuna is giving reason of compassion and here he is giving the reason of enjoyment. So then, further, from the verses 32 to 35, Arjuna is giving the reasons for enjoyment. He is saying, Kimno Rajena Govinda Kim Bogair Jivitenava Yesham Arthe Kankritamno Rajyam Boga Sukarnicha. Arjuna says, O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire are now arrayed on this battlefield? O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them even though they might otherwise kill me? So here, Arjuna is further saying that what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness or even life itself when for all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on the battlefield. So when a person wants to enjoy material happiness, there are two ways of enjoying material happiness. By sharing it with others and by showing it off to others. Suppose just imagine the whole world belongs to you, but you are the only person living in the world. You will not be able to enjoy. The whole world, all the wealth, all the cars, all the mansions, everything belongs to you, but you are the only person in the world. You will not be able to enjoy. When a person wants to enjoy material happiness, he shares it with others and by showing it off to others. So there was one millionaire was in London. He purchased a house worth 250 crores. Such a big mansion having so many hundreds of rooms. And then the another person asked, like, why do you need such a big house? Is it that like many persons are going to stay in the house? He said, like, no, not many persons are going to stay in the house. I will get more pleasure by showing it off to many people. Like there was once a chief minister in Tamil Nadu, I remember long, many years back, like she conducted the marriage of her son. So it was actually relayed in the TV. So it was described how she had spent like crores of rupees for the marriage of her son. And so in this way, like, people actually try to show off their opulence to others. So here also Arjuna is giving the reason, like, even if I win the battle, I will get kingdom, etc. But I will not be able to enjoy that because I will not have my relatives to share my kingdom with others. And I will not be able to show off my opulence to my relatives. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, in fact in the previous verse, purport Prabhupada writes, without knowing that one's real self-interest is in Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by bodily relationships, hoping to be happy in such situations. So people actually, the nature of the soul is to be, to have relationship with other living entities. In fact, the devotional service is about relationships. The nature of the soul, every living entity has an innate tendency to have loving relationship with other living entities. But this tendency will be only be satisfied when it is actually superimposed on Krishna. Only when we have loving relationship with Krishna and with other living entities, having Krishna as a center, then this tendency will be satisfied. Like, for example, like, there are people like Elizabeth Taylor, like, she married 8 times, 3 times the same person. And like, so people want to have relationships, but they do not know how to actually have loving relationships, because they do not know that Krishna, one's real self-interest lies in Krishna. So here also, Arjuna is actually showing He is actually having a feeling for his relatives, but he does not know that actually they are also spirit souls, and they are not going to die after the battlefield. Their bodies will be killed, but they will be eternal. And ultimately it is Krishna's desire that he fights the battle. So because he lacks this particular knowledge, so he is actually in distress. But then one may say, Arjuna is actually a devotee of Krishna. How can he be in such a situation? So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Arjuna is showing ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's will. So Arjuna is put in this condition by Krishna's will. So Arjuna is actually a pure devotee of Krishna. When Krishna wants to speak Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually puts his own devotees in such a situation. Like one, Shyamananda Prabhu was giving the example. film actors, when they are acting in their films, they are supposed to wear some jeans having some holes in their roles. So they will not wear some old jeans. They will buy some new jeans and then they will put some holes in that and then they will wear that and then act in that film. So similarly, when Krishna wants to speak Bhagavad Gita, he will not choose any person in the street. He will choose his own devotee. He will put his own devotee in ignorance and then he will speak Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna, by giving these reasons, we must know clearly that Arjuna is actually a pure devotee of Krishna. And Arjuna is actually put into this condition by Krishna's will. So then further, actually Prabhupada writes in the purport. So in the next verse, actually Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Govinda. So Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows and senses. So Krishna gives pleasure to the cows and senses. But then, how does Krishna give pleasure to the senses? So when we try to give pleasure to Krishna's senses, then automatically our senses will be satisfied. But people think that Krishna should give pleasure to our senses. But that is the exact misconception. When we try to serve Krishna, then automatically our senses will be satisfied. Just like when we try to water the root of the tree, the whole tree gets nourished. When we try to feed the stomach, the whole body gets nourished. So similarly, when we try to give pleasure to Krishna's senses, automatically all the living entities get satisfied. So here, Arjuna is saying that neither there will be someone whom I can share my opulences, nor there will be someone whom I can show off. So Krishna is giving the argument that, okay, but if you do not fight, you may forgive your relatives, but then they will not forgive you. They will kill you only. They will come and attack you and they will kill you. But then Arjuna is saying, okay, let them come and attack me. I don't mind. I don't care. What to speak of this kingdom, I do not even want to exchange the three worlds. I am not prepared to fight with them even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. So Arjuna is actually showing such detachment that even if they offer me all the three worlds, even then still also I do not want to fight with them. So then Krishna is telling that, okay, at least kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, because they did so much of, they troubled all the Pandavas so much. At least by killing them, you will get some happiness. So Arjuna is saying that, no, my dear Krishna, I will not get any peace even by killing the sons of Dhritarashtra. In fact, Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Janardhan. You are Janardhan, and Janardhan means maintainer of all people or the destroyer of all people. So you should actually destroy them. So I will not kill them. So in this way, Arjuna is actually giving reasons to Krishna that why he does not want to fight. And Arjuna And further, Arjuna is also using the word Madhusudan to address Krishna. So Madhusudan means the killer of the demon Madhu. So Arjuna is saying that at the beginning of the creation, so this demon called Madhu, he actually stole the Vedas. So you protected the Vedas and killed the demon Madhu. So now, why are you telling me to go against the Vedic injunction? The Vedic injunction says that do not unnecessarily commit violence to other living entities. This is the Vedic injunction, and you protected the Vedas in the beginning of the creation. So why are you telling me now to go against the Vedic injunction? So in this way, Arjuna is giving the reason. And Madhusudan also has another meaning. Madhu means honey. Honey has two effects. It is sweet and it is intoxicating. And Sudan means thief. When honeybees collect honey and store, the farmer comes and steals the honey. And Madhu also has another meaning apart from the word honey. Madhu also means false ego. False ego is also compared to money. Honey, false ego is also very sweet. When like others praise, it is sweet and it is very intoxicating. So Krishna is addressing Krishna that please actually destroy my false ego. So in this way, Arjuna is giving the reason. And then further Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that how Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the cows and senses. So when we satisfy, give pleasure to Krishna's senses, then automatically our senses will be satisfied. So when a person tries to render devotional service to Lord Krishna, in fact Krishna himself comes under the control of such devotees. In fact Lord Brahma, he says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma personally saw how Lord Krishna created the whole creation. But then Lord Brahma is not so much astonished by how Lord Krishna created the creation. But he is more astonished by how Lord Krishna has loving relationships with his devotees in Vrindavan. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, Krishna was taking the remnants of footsteps of his cowherd boyfriends. So Lord Brahma was more astonished by Lord Krishna's having this pastime with his cowherd boyfriends than by his pastime of creating the creation, his pastime of creating the whole material world. In fact, Jiva Goswami in one of the verses, he says that the lotus feet of the Lord are compared to honey. Lotus feet of the Lord are very fragrant. And the honeybees are attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. When the honeybees come to the lotus feet of the Lord, they are attracted by the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. And when the devotees smell the tulsi leaves which are offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, then all one's sins are at once eradicated. And if a person does not have sins, even then also one will be completely transformed. Just like the four Kumaras, they smelled the tulsi leaves offered to the Lord, and then they immediately got transformed. So one can actually eat or smell one's way back to Godhead. So all one has to do is one has to give pleasure to the senses of Lord Krishna. Like this, in fact, this concept of when a person render service to Krishna, Krishna himself comes under the control of such a devotee. Like this is exemplified by this Damodar Leela. Like we celebrate Krishna's birth, Janmashtami, only once in a year. But we celebrate Damodar Leela, in which Krishna himself came under the control of Mother Yashoda for one full month. So that is the power of devotional service, that it completely satisfies us, and more than that, even Krishna himself comes under the control of a devotee. And there is like, there was once a burglar went to Srinathji temple. Like a burglar was actually stealing so many things from rich people, poor people, etc. One man suggested, like, you are committing so much of thief, like, why don't you, like, the biggest, like, rich person is this Srinathji, who is there in Nathdwara. He is having such golden ornaments. Why don't you go and steal the ornaments of Srinathji? So then the thief went to Srinathji temple. It was night time. So Srinathji was having his night dress. It was a very simple dress. So there were not many ornaments were there. Just like we are Shrine Darshan, we don't have much ornaments for the deities. So he was only having a golden umbrella. So in order to steal the golden umbrella, like, he climbed on the top of Srinathji deity. So Srinathji said, Log mujhe phool phal vagara chadate hain, par aap to apne aap ko chada liya. So the, people offer me fruits and flowers to me, but you offered your entire self to me. So then, in this way, that burglar, simply by stealing, coming to steal the ornaments of Srinathji, he actually perfected his life. He went back to garden. So this is what actually Prabhupada is telling the purport, that simply by giving pleasure to Krishna's senses, then one will completely satisfy himself. And then finally, Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually Arjuna is actually ready to go to the forest. He actually does not want to fight. He actually almost has decided to go to forest and lead the life of a mendicant. But then he does not understand Krishna's plan. It is actually Krishna's desire that Arjuna actually fights the battle. So Krishna says, the Prabhupada says that the Lord can excuse a person on his own account, but he excuses no one who has done harm to his devotees. Because Krishna wanted all these Kauravas to be destroyed. Because all these Kauravas, they committed so much of offense to the Pandavas, that Krishna wanted to kill them. So that is why Prabhupada is mentioning that when a person even offends the Supreme Lord, still one can actually, if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord, Krishna will not take that offense so seriously. But when a person offends the devotee of the Lord, then Krishna will take that offense more seriously. Like once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying, in a class he was saying that, suppose when a person is making garland for the Lord, but if a person is offending the devotees of the Lord, then Lord will, when a person offers those garland to the Lord, it will be like garland of thorns for the Lord. That's how the Lord will feel. So similarly, when a person serves us, even if a person commits the offense to the Supreme Lord, if one chants the holy name of the Lord, one will be forgiven. But when a person offends the devotee of the Lord, then Krishna will not forgive such a person. So just to recap, so today we saw that how Arjuna is actually giving reasons of enjoyment. Previously Arjuna gave reason of compassion, but here Arjuna is actually giving the reasons for enjoyment, that he does not want to fight because he is not going to get anything out of the battle. He cannot show his opulence to others. He cannot share his opulence to his relatives. And then Prabhupada is giving so many lessons in the purport, saying that root cause of all the problems is because one does not know that one's real self-interest lies in Krishna. And then if a person simply tries to give pleasure to Krishna, then automatically one will be satisfied. And he gave more lessons like how when a person is attracted by the bodily relationships, one will actually go through so many miseries. Like here, Arjuna is attracted by the bodily relationships, so he is in a pathetic condition. And also, Arjuna was put into this condition by Krishna's will. Because Arjuna is a pure devotee, Krishna wanted to speak Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna chose Arjuna and he wanted to speak Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna. So, we'll stop here. So, if somebody, it's already 8:30. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.